104.5 The Zone's 2021 Spring Golf Classic. Let me tell you, if you're not hanging out here, you're missing out. Poor Lucas, he's stuck at home. He's shuttered up inside. Everybody else is out here in the sunshine on the golf course. A lot more than a couple people boozing to my left. Big time. You're missing out if you're not out here at Champions Run. Man, you're missing out if you're not a part of this radio show today. If you want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is the number that you dial. We're going to be talking a lot of draft today. Harry Douglas, former Titans wide receiver. We're going to break down this wide receiving class in more detail. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. We got Coach Mack to put a bow on things to send you into your weekend the right way. I can't get over how nice it is out here. Lucas, how upset are you that you're not out? You were out here last year, correct?
Yeah, I was. So can you stop? I mean, if I close my eyes, I can picture it, but you're killing me.
It's picturesque. I don't know how else to describe it other than, I was telling Lucas, we did our pre-show meeting on the phone while I was driving out here this morning from downtown. It's about an hour drive. And I forget that there's anything else outside of, like, major metropolitan areas. In Tennessee, it is absolutely beautiful out here. There's birds singing. There's deer jumping all over the place. The water, again, picturesque. I don't know how else to put it.
Yes, but thank you. I'm sure you will continue to remind me throughout the next 3 hours.
I really have to. Can I do the show outside more often? I feel I don't want to leave you behind, bud, but, man, I can't get over how refreshing it is to be outdoors and broadcasting live. I'm also getting dragged across the surface of the internet this morning. That's also a thing that's happening.
How many times do we start the show with that?
It's becoming a trend, isn't it? I mean, you know, this is what, who was it? The former ESPN analyst, Herm Edwards. Don't press send. Don't press send, dummy. This is another dollar in the fine bucket. We have an accumulation of fines for all the dumb stuff that I do around the show. Every time that I get clapped back by a professional athlete on the internet, probably a fine, especially if I'm in the wrong, because that's what happened. That's what happened this morning. I'm literally sitting in the bathroom. I'm getting ready to jump in the shower, getting ready to start my day. I'm having my coffee. And then all of a sudden I see Darius Leonard, Colts linebacker, yelling at me on Twitter about something. What the hell is this? What do you mean? I'm disoriented. It's 6 in the morning. Who is on Twitter outside of me this early? Who would let themselves be poisoned by social media at this time of day outside of myself? Well, it turns out Darius Leonard is unhappy with what I said about a tweet that he put out there yesterday. So now everybody is piling on social media. And admittedly, like, I read his tweet wrong, but I'll go back and find it for the people because that is what is happening to me this morning. So, yeah, Lucas, this is becoming a trend. Fine, another dollar in the fine bucket as I get dragged across the surface of the sun by a Colts linebacker. Because Darius Leonard a day ago, yesterday, about this time, as a matter of fact, happy anniversary to me. This draft class talks too much for me, says Darius Leonard at DS Leon 45. Let your work do the talking, because if you're doing all this talking to the media or in social media, and you don't perform like you expect yourself to, these media guys going to use it against you. Keep your mouth closed and grind. That's it. Okay, so I read that as like basically a shut up and dribble tweet, which was not what Darius Leonard was trying. That's not the message, even though he continues to just take shots at the media. So it's no wonder that he decided to have it out with me on social media this morning. And again, admittedly, I read his tweet wrong because I thought that he was, you know, I thought he was saying, hey, you know, young guys, shut up and play ball. Don't make it about anything else outside of your game. That's how I received the message from Darius Leonard.
I mean, he kind of was saying that, not from a political standpoint, but in essence, is that not what he's saying?
Yeah, so I thought it was a shut up and dribble thing, and shut up and dribble immediately has political connotations, right? So that made what I did made it a totally different discussion, and I don't know if it was a reasonable discussion on the internet this morning. You go check my mentions if you want. But essentially, you know, Darius Leonard and myself came to an agreement that I read his tweet wrong and I put out an apology because he's not incorrect. What I did was put a totally different spin on Darius Leonard's tweet than I intended to. And so I was totally comfortable admitting that I, you know, my bad, I read the tweet wrong. I just, it was very, very disarming to me. I got a bunch of, you know, I'm from Indiana. I got a bunch of Colts fans in my life. Colts fans are, all my Colts buddies from college are like lighting me up saying, oh, you idiot. You idiot. Somebody texted me this morning from an NFL circle and said his nickname is literally the Maniac. You couldn't have picked a different person or a worse person to feud with on Twitter. Which is crazy, because if I was a professional athlete, I would never check my Twitter mentions. Ramon Foster is another one of these people who's always on Twitter as a former professional athlete. That's right. I'm bringing you into this. Ramon always on Twitter, always checking his mentions, always going back and forth with the people. So I guess he has some perspective into what Darius Leonard was thinking today when I was, you know, sitting on the toilet and scrolling, and then Darius Leonard immediately took me out. You messed with the wrong man. 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. The more that I think about this, given that Darius Leonard was giving draft advice, Isaiah Wilson, by the way, also giving out draft advice on social media for any who would choose to take it from him. But the more that we talk about this NFL draft, and we're gonna get into a lot of wide receiver talk today. We'll also talk about the tight ends with Coach Mack coming up later in the show. Harry Douglas has done an exceptional job breaking down this particular draft class. And the reason that Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is on the show today is because he tweeted out something I found to be outrageous. Outrageous by Mike Giardi. And so did a lot of people in NFL circles. And this is the problem, right? You don't know where the information is coming from. You don't know what people are, what their motives are for sharing this information or for getting this information to the various people that they do when you're talking about draft analysis. Because Giardi tweeted this out also a day ago. Rashad Bateman was getting a lot of buzz from scouts, execs I spoke with over the last couple of weeks. Rashad Bateman is the Minnesota wide receiver, I add parenthetically. So a lot of buzz over the last couple of weeks, and that was before he tested as well as he did at his pro day, 4.41 40, which everybody is running, you know, 4.340s, 4.440s. This is the fastest draft class in the history of draft class because everybody's doing this at individual pro days instead of the combine. But Giardi adds, a couple believe, this is where it gets nuts, a couple of these scouts and executives believe he's the best wide receiver in this draft. Better than Ja'Marr Chase, better than Devontae Smith, better than Jaylen Waddle. Bold. That's insane to me. But this is the thing, like, everybody has gone so back and forth on every prospect in this draft, from the quarterbacks to the wide receivers. Really, the only draft prospect that anybody has any kind of consensus on is Kyle Pitts, because he's a pterodactyl playing tight end. But the over-analysis during draft season, I don't know who to take seriously. Why have the draft grades shifted so much from where we were not a week ago, from 2 weeks ago? It's a constant roller coaster. We have too much time to spend studying these draft prospects. And this is the place that I think we find ourselves, where everybody, you know, you could go back and find varying opinions from one person just over the course of 1 month about draft prospects. So we'll have Harry Douglas straighten us out coming up next. We'll get into the wide receiver analysis. We'll see what he has to say about Giardi's tweet there. The Nashville Predators, Lucas, your boys. A Preds update. We have to do one at 10:45, no?
Yeah, how about that? Another 7-1 win over the same team they did it against last time.
That's the most cliche sports talk radio response. How about that? Yeah, how about that? How about the Nashville Predators? No, fantastic. Victor Arvidsson, incredible hat trick last night. We will get Lucas Panzeca's Preds update as well. What I'm looking at, though, on social media, there is not a lot of love, because we put this out on a poll, as we do each and every morning. Who is the best wide receiver in this draft? The more that I look at it, I have not seen. There's a handful of responses right now. At Buck Rising on Twitter, Walker Gardner says the only correct answer is Chase. So does Clayton Smith. Scott says something intelligent. At Scott 195302. That sounds like a bot. But Scott says, ask Rhett B. Tennessee. We should ask Rhett. Rhett's hanging out in the Titans radio studios, hard at work on all of the NFL draft prep and making sure that I pronounce Chuba Hubbard's name correctly. But nothing about Rashad Bateman. I mean, the skill set, we've spent a lot of time talking about this one particular player. But the skill set makes so much sense for the Titans. But if he's getting this kind of acclaim, I mean, it feels Mac Jones-esque. Mac Jones, because the draft analysis on Mac Jones has been so disfavorable by everybody that you follow on the internet, and then you see everybody coming back and say, well, this NFL executive told me that they really like his leadership qualities. Now he's a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Why are we doing the draft analysis so much in retrospect? Is it just because everybody's cramming? Because that's what it feels like to me. Feels like everybody's just starting to catch up on their homework. You know, you got people like Teron Davenport doing this out here year-round, just screaming about small school prospects that nobody's ever heard of, and then they ended up being 10-year starters in the NFL because Teron does this stuff year-round. Now, admittedly, I'm one of these people. You know, I get a chance to go back and watch it, watch some of the games. I don't necessarily have coaches film the way I do for NFL games, but I'll go back and I'll singularly focus on one prospect. But, like, that process for me just started a couple weeks ago. So I understand how you could do that kind of thing in retrospect. But it is frustrating, certainly if you're one of these players where you're seeing your draft status attack, you're seeing, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, by consensus, the number one wide receiver in this draft until Mike Giardi presses send on Twitter. It's a place we find ourselves in. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. You are welcome to do so. Coming up next, though, we will get into more wide receiver analysis with a former Titans wide receiver himself. That's Harry Douglas. It's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. This sounds like some get-down music. Sounds like something Harry Douglas would put on some cowboy boots, maybe a cowboy hat, get down to. What's going on, Harry? How are we living on this Friday?
Man, I'm doing great on this Friday, Buck. Listen, do you know about the game of golf? Don't be out there on that golf course so you don't know what you're doing that much.
Man, Harry, I love to golf, but I am so bad at it. Like, we could never play. You would be so irritated by how long it takes me to play 18 holes.
But let me tell you the funny thing. I'm up here talking about you, right? And see, me, my putting game is on point. My putting game is on point. Okay. Now, I'm a bit of a shanker when I'm trying to drive that ball. I like to shank a couple of them.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. It's, in fact, we put it on a poll. What's the worst part of your golf game? Harry Douglas, got a good short game. Tough off the tee, sounds like. I'm pretty much the same way. I struggle with mid-range shots, though. Like, it's really, really... It's probably the most frustrating part about my golf game is if I get it on the green and I botch the intermediate shot. That's the place where I find myself in the most trouble.
Understandable.
Harry Douglas is here, and so you know that we're talking wide receivers. All right, Harry, so we are following you up today with Mike Giardi of the NFL Network because Mike said something that was so ridiculous to me, and maybe it won't be as ridiculous as I think it is, but this is what Mike Giardi of the NFL Network tweeted out yesterday. Rashad Bateman was getting a lot of buzz from scouts/execs I spoke with over the last couple of weeks, and that was before he tested as well as he did at his pro day, 4-4-140. A couple believe he's the best wide receiver in this draft, better than Chase, Smith, or Waddle. Bold. Harry, is that as nonsensical to you as it read to me?
I'll say this. I don't think he's the best, but he's up there. He's up there. And when I look at Rashad Bateman, I think he's a dominant playing guy on the outside. He can play anywhere, though. He can play in the slot. He's a bigger body guy who's strong, runs good routes. And usually when you have guys at that size, you know, you have to teach them how to get their chin over their toes. I think he does a great job of that. He has a little wiggle at the line of scrimmage to get off press coverage. He had a strong sophomore year. He opted out in 2020, but he came back, and I wish he just would have stayed out because the Minnesota, their team success was just terrible. Now, the weakness that I have on Rashad Bateman is that you have some drops, and I think most of those drops come from the lack of focus. So that's something that can be fixed. But his upside at the next level, I think it's there. I think he's going to be a star in the NFL. I don't know when he's going to be a star, but at some point he's going to be a star in the league. Now, I do not think he's better than Ja'Marr Chase. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to understanding that it's been some time since we saw Ja'Marr Chase. By the way, Harry Douglas, former Titans wide receiver, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. You can follow Harry at HDouglas83. Make sure you check out the HD Connection on YouTube. Harry does a great job with his interview series there. A lot of great guests like Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner. He's had Calvin Johnson on before. My man has a star-studded cast on the HD Connection. So when you talk about drops for a college receiver, the thing that immediately, as you mentioned, comes up is focus. That leads to a conversation usually about consistency for a player at that position. For a player, for a wide receiver to kind of become a more consistent player, I guess it depends on each individual, where their skill sets are, where their strengths and weaknesses are. But what is the first thing that a wide receiver coming from college into the NFL needs to focus on to get a better grasp on their consistency at this level?
Well, I'll say when wide receivers come into the NFL, when you're in college, you're used to catching the football with no one around you, right? There's not many contested catches. And right. The windows that quarterbacks and receivers are throwing and catching the ball through are huge, right? When you get to the NFL, it's not like that. Most of the catches are going to be contested catches. With people draped around your body, people always grabbing at you, tugging at you, trying to compete for the ball to knock it down as well. And then say you have an 18-yard in cut. You go up 18 yards and you come in, right? Mm. Some of these wide receivers at college, they may drift a yard upfield trying to catch that in cut. In the NFL, you got to come back down at a negative angle to catch that football, because here's the difference. At college, you can get away with it. In the NFL, there's a safety back there. When I played, it was a guy named Ed Reed. It was a guy named Troy Polamalu. And those guys will literally knock you out or pick that ball off if you don't come back down here at a negative angle to catch that football on the end cut. So little things like that at the top of the route, getting your chin over your toes. I know a lot of guys, when they get to the NFL, they have a lot of this herky, irky, jerky to the top of their routes, like they're shuffling a roach. There's no need for all of that, because if you just run your route and attack leverage and just plan to come back down to the quarterback, you're going to beat the DB every time. The more that you're trying to set the DB up, the more indicator it gives that DB to break on your route.
So who in college right now, whose offense do you look at when you're watching wide receivers and you're saying, okay, that coach or that offensive coordinator, that particular scheme is requiring wide receivers to run a more diverse route tree? Because the criticism, at least here locally with the University of Tennessee and what was Jim Chaney's offense last year for the Vols, Josh Palmer's another one of these wide receivers who's coming into the draft right now. A lot of people seem to like him as a sleeper pick more than anything, because they haven't seen him run a diverse enough route tree or seen him display that ability based on the kind of offense that he was in. Who right now is requiring that of wide receivers? What school or what particular coach kind of catches your eye on the tape?
Well, I'll tell you this. There's not many, right? There's not many, and that's one of the knocks that I have on college football when it comes to the wide receiver position, is that these guys aren't learning how to run routes to keep the correct way. They're not understanding coverages, because in a lot of these spread schemes, you just run what you run and the quarterback will find who he finds, right? But I can say this. When you look at the University of Alabama, you look at how Jerry Jeudy ran routes, you look at how Devontae Smith runs routes, you look at how Henry Ruggs ran routes, you look at how Jalen Waddle, those guys run routes. You can tell, even though they're in that spread scheme now, you can tell those guys focus on it in practice. Now, you don't have to run it in the game, but you can tell that these guys focus on those little intangibles in practice. They focus on getting your chin over your toes at the top of a curl route. Because I've seen Devontae Smith plenty of times, like even in the Georgia game, I've seen about two or three times where at the top of his route, he's getting his chin over his toes, but he's diving back to the quarterback hard as hell so he can make that catch. And that just doesn't come like that. You have to be taught those things. So I can tell at the University of Alabama, they work on those type of things. Now, it's a couple other colleges that may work on it, but I know at the University of Alabama, I would say at LSU, those guys are a lot of their athleticism shows up. But you look at a guy like Justin Jefferson last year. If playing in that slot, you got to understand, not everything you're going to do is going to be 100% going full speed all the time. You have to pick and understand zones, and Justin Jefferson did a great job of that, but he was taught that, right? You got to be taught these type of things, taught, and for you to understand coverages and where to sit so your quarterback can find you in a zone, because not everything's going to be man-to-man coverage. So it's just about a matter of these programs taking the time out and teaching these wide receivers the correct way about the game, how to approach the game, understanding coverages, how to run routes, and how to be effective when you get to the next level as well.
Former Titans wide receiver Harry Douglas is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Give my man a follow, at HDouglas83. He is doing incredible draft breakdowns and draft preparations right now. And if you can't tell by listening to the radio, I don't know what to tell you. Harry knows what he's talking about without question. Let's go back to DeVonta Smith, because the biggest knock on him right now, Harry, well, I guess this is a better question for you. Harry, how many wide receivers would you give a first-round grade to out of this particular class? Because Lucas, my producer, and myself, we came up with 7 in our pre-show meeting that we felt would probably fall within that round. Is 7 too many, or what is your evaluation of that?
Okay, I have Ja'Marr Chase. Yep. I have DeVonta Smith. I have Jaylen Waddle. I think there's a possibility Rashad Bateman can jump up in there. Mm-hmm. Rondale Moore with his 40 time at 4.29, at 42.5 vert, and then at 3 cone as a 6.6, 6.68. And
I love him, Harry. That, he's so much fun.
Listen, when you do that 3 cone, that's change of direction. That's how you can get in and out of cuts. And then the only knock on him is durability. So Rondale Moore is a possibility that can creep up in there. Elijah Moore, another guy that I love that can play some running back, play some wide receiver. He had a lot of contested catches, and for him to be so small, that's a great thing for him. It's a possibility that Tutu Atwell from my college, Louisville, that can slide up in there. Yes. So that's what right now. That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Kadarius Tony.
Kadarius Tony is another guy. Now, when it comes to Kadarius Tony, he's explosive. He's a human joystick. He's a playmaker. Very athletic. You can line him up and do all kind of trickery things. But I think he has to get better as a route runner when it comes to running routes in the slot and outside, because he didn't really do that at Florida. And he needs to be a more consistent catcher, right? He's not a natural catcher of the football. And the last thing for him is he a scheme guy, or can he be a true wide receiver at the next level? And right now I have him as a scheme guy.
Is Chase the only one that you look at and say, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the scheme? You just line him up on the outside and go tell him to win?
I think him, DeVonta Smith, and Rashad Bateman, and Terrence Marshall are those 4 guys.
Okay. What? How big a knock on Smith is the weight? That seems to be the thing that comes up with him more often than anything, is just about his physical size or lack thereof. He's obviously a long wide receiver, but he doesn't have enough weight on him by most measures. How big a knock on him is that at the next level? And is that just something that's being overblown because everybody's looking? It's neg season, right? Everybody is putting negative criticism. You're trying to find reasons not to take these guys, and more often than not, you see that stuff rise to the top.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Good. Good.
Especially with all the people that we had played the game. You had a Marvin Harrison. I was a guy that was drafted at 170. You had Deshaun Jackson the same year that I came out. You have all these guys, and the game is about, I won't say it's about smaller guys now, but more smaller guys are getting more love, more so than when I came out in the draft. Okay. Like, think about this now. DeVonta Smith caught the game-winning touchdown for UGA in the championship game. 2019, he has over 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. 2020, he has over 115 receptions, over 1,800 yards, 23 touchdowns, win the Heisman, win all kind of awards, win a national championship, and we talking about his damn size.
No, it's so dumb, Harry. It's like nobody watched the national championship game or anything that he did throughout the course of the season.
And when you look at DeVonta Smith, I think he is the most dependable wide receiver in this draft. At all 3 levels, short, intermediate, long, he does a great job. He has hands. He gets in and out of cuts, his break. He's a leader. He's consistent. When Alabama needed a player this year, he was always there to make it, especially in big games. And the big games don't scare him. He performs his best in the biggest games of the year. And we're talking about his size.
No, it's spot on. Harry Douglas, this is why he's the best at what it is that we're talking about. All right, so let's talk about what you kind of brought up there, how the game is kind of paying more attention or giving more credence to smaller wide receivers. I think the thing that kind of sets guys apart is how they, or more than anything, no pun intended, but is basically how they go about separating. How good is their footwork? How much separation can they create on a route concept when there is none to be had at the pro level, because we understand how much tighter these throwing windows are that quarterbacks are trying to hit. The thing about a former teammate of yours with the several years that you spent with the Atlanta Falcons before you came here to Nashville, Julio Jones, the thing that stands out most about Julio is that he's a giant human being that runs routes and has the footwork of somebody who is so much smaller, or who should be so much more agile than a player at Julio's size. How difficult is that for a wide receiver? I understand that Julio is at the top of the craft. He's one of the best wide receivers that we've seen in the last 20 years of football. But how difficult is that as a concept to learn, or are you seeing more of these bigger-bodied wide receivers be able to incorporate that kind of concepts into their game?
Well, I'll say this first. For little guys, that if you can't do that as a little guy, you stand no chance of playing at the next level, because that should be automatic for you as a small guy. Right now, when you look at these bigger wide receivers, Julio is just a different breed. When he came in, just seeing him run as fast as he runs, but at the same time can stop on the dime, sink his hips, get in and out of his breaks like a small guy, was just crazy to me. And then his start and start is still very, very high as well. So I think for these bigger guys, and it goes back to what I was saying about the college level, right?
Yeah.
When, if you're a college wide receiver coach or a college assistant wide receiver coach, you see these bigger body guys. You want these guys to be great. Teach them how to sink those hips. Teach those guys how to get up in and out of their breaks. Teach these guys how to use their body at the catch point so defenders can't knock passes down. I think that's one of the things that had to be taught more. And for Julio played wide receiver for a guy named Coach McElwain, right? Mm. Coach McElwain recruited me when I was at Louisville, when he was at Louisville with John L. Smith. Those are the people that I committed to. I ended up playing for the Petrinos, but Coach Mack, I know what he teaches, I know what he preaches, and it goes back to Alabama being that university that teaches, right? It all goes back to teaching. Teaching these young men how to be great wide receivers. Teaching these young men the ins and outs of the wide receiver position. Listen, you can't just go out there running fast. I know a lot of people who can run fast, but hell, they can't slow down to even catch the football. So when you can back it up with being able to run routes, being efficient, knowing how to get open, knowing how to be savvy, I think that's just a bonus and a plus. And especially if you're a big guy that can get in and out of your cuts, and I think Rashad Bateman does a great job of that as well. If you're a big guy and you can get in and out of your breaks, in and out of your cuts, you're basically unstoppable.
Harry Douglas is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone, former Titans and Falcons wide receiver, NFL vet of nearly a decade actually in the league, of course, Harry Douglas.
Yep.
And make sure that you follow the HD Connection, subscribe on YouTube to the HD Connection for Harry's great interview series that he's doing alongside with all of the draft analysis. I don't know when my man catches a break. Harry, you are now more in the social media world because of how your role and how your career has shifted to this point where you're doing the analysis of both the college and the pro game. But when you were a player, how much did you, I guess I'm trying to look for the right way to ask this question, because I'm currently getting dragged by Darius Leonard, the Colts inside linebacker on Twitter. And so how often did you clap back at media vultures like me, or did you kind of just put your head down and ignore the mentions?
No, I didn't really clap back at people. I mean, I was on social media, but let me tell you how I actually got on social media. I lost a bet to a girl. I lost a bet. So that's how I even actually started a Twitter. And that was my first social media platform, well, besides Facebook. And I lost that bet and had to get on, and then it just went from there. But I didn't focus too much on it when I was playing. I'll post stuff here and there and take fans out to dinner and things of that nature, because I just love showing love to the fans, because they're a big part of what we do and support us and spend their money, their time, and energy supporting the team. So I did things like that, but that clap back. I mean, if anybody got a problem, they could see me in the streets if they
wanted to. Come see me. Come see me. How about that? Harry Douglas with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Harry, man, it's always a pleasure to catch up. Thanks for making us smarter.
No problem. Thank you, Buck.
All right, we will react to what Harry Douglas just said about this wide receiver class. Coming up next, live from Champions Run Golf Course here in beautiful Rockvale, Tennessee. Thanks very much to our friends at T-Mobile and Just Love Coffee for providing breakfast, Uncle Bud's Catfish Chicken and such for providing lunch, Edley's Barbecue for providing dinner. Good Lord, I'm going to get fat out here for as much time as I spend out at Champions Run Golf Course live on 104.5 The Zone. Man, all the vibes on this Friday from Champions Run out here in beautiful Rockvale, Tennessee. We are very excited. Woo-hoo-hoo, the man in black strutting up to the clubhouse. It is Brent Doherty of 3HL. Now, Brent is out here playing. Kirby Allen Kirby is here. Kirby's going to tell us how to break into a car here in just a second. Brent showing me a picture of what? What do we got here? Oh, we taking a selfie? No, it's a terrible angle of my neck. My neck looks so fat there. No, Brent. Oh, so bad. 615-737-1045.
You have a terrible angle of your neck? Is that what we're talking about?
It was a bad angle on my neck. I look like I have a fat neck when you make me turn like that.
Is there a good angle of your neck?
Hell Kirby's yeah. Question. Hell yeah, there is.
All right, well, we're 4 under through 9. I don't think that's good on a thing like this, but...
That's okay. Are you? I mean, the better part is you're sober because you got to do a radio show.
That's
later.
Right.
So at least that can be your excuse.
Well, if I didn't have to do a radio show and I was not sober, then we'd probably be like 7 under.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you'd be a little more lubed.
Yeah. That's phrasing. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. So who are you playing with today? Who's your partner?
I've got Dave Elliott, our sales manager.
Okay, Big Dave.
I've got Barry Simpson, who is married to the person who signs all of our texts.
Oh, love that.
And all 5 of our radio stations.
Wait, so you got a better end than me. I should be playing with these people.
And I've got Russell Bearden, who is a salesperson who I haven't seen in like a year and a few months.
All right, so basically the next time I need more money in my bank account, this is my golfing group?
Yeah, probably.
This is what you're telling me? This is where we find ourselves. Now, Kirby, Brent, is getting ready. By the way, you can hear Brent and Dawn from 3 to 6 today on 3HL. That's
yeah, but God knows what we'll be talking about because I'm out here.
I mean, there's plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff. What's the worst part of your golf game? That's a poll we have up right now.
I swing too hard.
Too much torque.
Becky and Amanda in sales, they just screamed all of it.
All of it. Stinks.
That's probably true.
This is a full-on party if you're not out here at Champions Run. The zone staff is having a good time.
Love you, Buck.
Love you too, buddy. See ya. But now we welcome in the pièce de résistance, chef's kiss. Kirby Allen Kirby is, of course, out here anytime we do things out on location for 104.5 The Zone. Lucas was telling me in one of the commercial breaks, which is a terrible job out of Lucas, by the way. In fact, there should be a fine system instituted for every time you say something that's better on the air. When you say it in a commercial break, that's a fine. Like, that's literally your job. We got to do better, buddy.
I got to toe the line between figuring out what direction we're going to go and saving it for the air. Still have to say what's. I mean, we still have to plan the show, Buck.
No. Yeah, listen, you're at home. You're unsupervised today. All our bosses are out here. If you want to get reckless behind the scenes, maybe today's the day we get nuts. Maybe that's the day. So, what did you tell me during the commercial break, which would have been much better on the air, but we're going to bring it to life right now.
Well, last time we were at Champions Run Golf Course, it was last fall. I was still there in promotions, working social media for The Zone, and we got locked out of one of our station vehicles.
Yeah.
We thought the key to the station vehicle was locked into the truck. I won't say which vehicle it was. It was one of the Cumulus Media station vehicles. And so Kirby Allen Kirby helps us out and breaks into the car for us and expertly showed me how to properly break into a car without making some type of alarm go off. And I learned a lot that day.
Kirby, why the hell do you know how to break into a car?
Well, years ago, in a land far, far away, I delivered pizzas.
Okay.
If you deliver pizzas, the more money you make, right? If you lock your keys in the car, it's imperative that you're able to get in there quickly because it's probably running.
Efficiency.
And continue on with your night to make cash.
Now, do you break into the cars of people who don't tip you well enough on your pizza delivery?
Well, I don't know. I've never broken into a car that I didn't own, or the owner didn't say, please get me into my car.
Now, this is man of the people, Kirby Allen Kirby, of course. Now, What did you use to break into a car out here at Champions Run?
Well, last year I used a little cast iron sign that said, keep carts off grass.
Yes.
And a piece of steel leg on one of these grass signs you see that marks the tee box.
So you're like 104.5 The Zone's MacGyver is what you're telling me. Like anything around you, you can find some way to make something productive.
At a Papa John's in Hendersonville with the 3HL, I used a door wedge, a dough knife, and a coat hanger. In less than 2 minutes, had the inside the young lady's car.
So what, like, what objects? Could you kill me with a Pepsi bottle? Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like this is where this conversation
five
is.
Five or six different ways.
Kirby Allen Kirby out here making it all happen. All right, the time is now for Lucas Panzeca's Preds update. We have been waiting anxiously for this. It is something that is becoming more and more a part of my life. So, Lucas, tell us what happened with the Nashville Predators yesterday against the Detroit Red Wings.
Well, they beat the Detroit Red Wings 7-1 for the second time this season. On the road, 7 unanswered goals. That is now 11 wins in the last 13 games for the Preds. And let me tell you about Victor Arvidsson's week. Just in the last 7 to 8 days, Victor Arvidsson has had a baby. He's come off the injury list.
Yes.
And he had a hat trick yesterday, and yesterday was his birthday. I think this is Victor Arvidsson's peak, just in, maybe not in his career, but in the grand scheme of his life, what is happening this week.
It doesn't get any better. Now, so this is the place that we find ourselves consistently with the Nashville Predators. Lucas, I demand of you an opinion every time we talk hockey, every time we talk puck. What is the status? Give me a prediction on the future of the Nashville Predators after an absolutely dominant win last night. It appears that my shame is about to be large and it is about to be public for the way that I ripped this team up and down the 104.5 The Zone airwaves not a month ago.
Yes, and it remains to be seen what that punishment will be. That's a later conversation. But
we got plenty of time to decide that.
Yes. Look, if the stars on this team that are still out work their way back into the lineup and are able to produce, which was not the case 2 months ago, but like Victor Arvidsson coming back, scoring an immediate hat trick, which was capped by a penalty shot, this team's going to be dangerous. If the Matt Duchesnes can come back, if Philip Forsberg can come back, get to his early season form, this team is going to go into the postseason with red-hot form, getting guys back, and that is a very dangerous thought. Now, I think the trade deadline, I think on Monday, is going to be quiet at this point. You may see a couple pieces move around, maybe an Erik Haula, an Ekholm or a Granlund who's been playing really well, but I think we're going to have John Glennon on Monday to dive into it.
Johnny G.
Yeah, but I think it may be a relatively quiet day. David Poile has a line to toe here, right? He wants to harness what's happening right now without blowing it up too much, but still figure out how maybe he could add some pieces to keep this thing going. I mean, nobody saw this thing coming.
I've got a giant smile on my face right now because I can hear the enthusiasm in Lucas's voice that we're actually breaking down hockey in the regular season. Lucas, I said not a month ago, punch me in the face if that ever happens, and now it's a regular part of the show. Lucas Panzeca's Preds update here on 104.5 The Zone. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. Now, we put this on a Twitter poll before the show began. How comfortable would you be living outside of a major metropolitan area, basically? Because, like, I'm driving out here to Rockvale. I live downtown Nashville. It's been a while since I've been, like, outside of the city. And the last time I've been outside of the city, it was in downtown Indianapolis and downtown Baltimore when the Tennessee Titans were on the road against the Colts and the Ravens. So it's been a while since I've been, like, out where there's sunshine and air, like, clean air and trees and green grass. I'm used to seeing concrete and, you know, alley cats. That's my entire existence downtown. And it's beautiful out here. And I don't just say that to bother Lucas a little more. But it is absolutely stunning. I don't think, though, that I could live this far outside of a city.
What's your threshold?
What's my threshold? I mean, it's got to be like, I live 1.9 miles away from the radio station. I live probably about 0.5 from Lower Broadway. I think the most I could do is 10 miles. Like, the most that I could do. That would probably be my limit. I'm talking like Franklin and Brentwood. That's about as close as I'm, you know, but I'm not a nature person. Like, nature is lovely for me to come out and visit on a day to do the radio show. I'm very much having fun outdoors, and I like to play golf. I'm bad at it. But, like, to live to live an hour outside of a major metropolitan area. I don't know how I could do it, but it's very charming. I'm sure the people live here, the people out here live a much, much more peaceful existence than you or I.
Franklin Brentwood, you're pushing a little past 10 miles there. I think you're thinking in the nation somewhere. I think somewhere in that range. Charlotte Pike, 10
miles?
Maybe.
This is like 3 miles from me.
I live in Bellevue. That's like 15 miles out.
No, you live outside the perimeter, basically, is what that's called. We inside the perimeter refer to Bellevue as outside of the perimeter.
Still Davidson County.
It's debatable. 615-737-1045. We're going to get back into the draft conversation. We've had a lot of wide receiver talk here today. That's something that's very, very much on the Tennessee Titans' minds as they move further and further into the month of April. The NFL draft rapidly approaching. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is going to join us, and we will talk more draft then. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.